puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It is precisely time for our weekly history/geography lesson with Gordon Goldsborough, who joins me now from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
Now, there was a clue last week that I feel had a slightly sinister side to it. Please remind us.
Well, yeah, it might have been a bit confusing to some people. I said that we were going to be visiting a building in which you could find an abandoned swimming pool, an abandoned laboratory, an abandoned greenhouse, and an abandoned morgue. And people might have been wondering, in what kind of building would you find all of these things?
That's what I was wondering, and I've been waiting all week. You may reveal.
You would find them in a hospital.
Now, that makes sense when you say it like that. I can kind of understand. Tell us more about this hospital.
Well, the specific hospital we're talking about in this case is the Misericordia here in Winnipeg. And all of those things are in the hospital, all of them unused. And so I thought I would just give the listeners a bit of a tour of the facility that I had not long ago. But let's just to set the stage. The building itself goes back to over 100 years ago. In fact, in 1898, four nuns from Montreal, the Sisters of Mercy, or as they were called in French, Le Sœur de Miséricorde, came here to Manitoba because of a problem we had. There were large numbers of women who had had children out of wedlock, and therefore were under reduced circumstances. They need someone to look after both them and their fatherless children. So these four nuns were going to set up a facility to look after them. And there was such demand that, in fact, within a year, they began building a dedicated building specifically for these women and children. And that became the basis of the Misericordia Maternity Hospital. And so that's what it was for the first several years. And in fact, in 1900, when it first opened, it was, say, much in demand, so that within 7 years, they expanded it. They built what they called a center wing. They built a north wing. Mm-hmm. Now, that original building, the one built in 1900, is now gone. It's been replaced by a bunch of other structures on the site. But the center and the north wings are still there. So the oldest part of the Misericordia, we can date back to 1907. So it's basically 110 years old.
Were these women from the province, or were they coming from across Canada?
They would be from all over, because, of course, at this time in Manitoba's history, people were converging on Manitoba. You know, there was a lot of immigration to Canada, and so they might be from other countries, certainly from other parts of Canada, and, you know, simply finding themselves in difficult situations. So these nuns, say, hope to fill the gap mm-hmm. by making this facility for them. Well, this area where they built the hospital, which is a sort of in between Sherbrooke and Maryland, just overlooking the Assiniboine River, is also a fairly developing area. It was the Wolseley area of the city. It was developing, you know, a lot of houses being built in that area. Across the river, you have the Crescentwood, you have Fort Rouge, you have River Heights. All of this area is really growing. And so the need became urgent for not just a maternity hospital, but a general hospital that could deal with all kinds of conditions, not just maternity. So in 1917, then, the once maternity hospital was turned into a general hospital. So what this story really, I think, illustrates for me is that it shows the sort of the transitions that this facility has gone through its life. It began as a maternity hospital, and then, say, in 1917, it became a general hospital. So back last December, I had an opportunity to tour through the building, the oldest part of it, in fact, the 1907 part. And you know right off the bat that you're in an older part of the building. The floors kind of creak a little bit when you walk. The staircases are made out of wood. Well, in fact, there's an interesting thing. If you went into this building and said, is there anything here that would tell you that it had been once affiliated with nuns? Mm. And, you know, you might say, well, maybe there's some religious iconography or something. But no, actually something physical in the structure of the hospital tells you that it once had nuns running it.
Okay, what's that?
The staircases.
How?
Well, think about it. A nun wears a long religious robe, almost to the floor. And when you step, for example, then you have to make little steps because you would get tangled up in your robes. So the stairs, you know, if you think about the treads and the risers of a staircase, the treads are where you put your feet, the risers in between. Normally, when we walk up a stairs, we sort of expect there's a certain distance between the treads. Well, here it's much shorter because, of course, these women in these long robes couldn't navigate the traditional staircases. So even today, when you walk up them, it just feels kind of different. Walking up these little short steps, and you think, why are they like that?
Makes total sense.
Precisely.
Super. It's not easy walking around in long robes, you know, Gordon.
Well, when you know the story, then it makes perfect sense.
Makes sense, yeah.
Absolutely. So when we visited there, we were taken to various parts of this older part of the hospital. So we started down in the basement and we went to the morgue. And it wasn't a big facility, but of course, at one time, this was an acute care facility. It would dealt with people with life-threatening conditions. So inevitably, some of them are going to die and they needed a place to house them temporarily. And so there are four what they call trays in the morgue, only two of which are functional now because the upper two are sort of at chest height. You can wheel in. But at the bottom two are right on the floor. And apparently, with the gurneys they use today, it just wouldn't be possible to use the lower two. So they're still there and they're still functional, although I don't know that they use them terribly much, but they could. Mm-hmm. And then another thing that we noticed when we were down in the basement, they had a TV boneyard.
A what? Come
well,
again?
Well, of course, anybody who went to the hospital in sort of the 70s and 80s probably remembers that you could rent a TV in your hospital room where you could it was on an arm that swung out from the wall. And so in this boneyard, basically there's dozens of these old TVs, you know, ancient technology still hanging from the wall, you know, ready to be deployed in hospital rooms that aren't going to be anymore.
But they just kept them all.
Kept them all for some reason or another. also down in the basement is a swimming pool. And it's a fairly large size one. It has a shallow end. It has a deep end. The deep end's about 8 feet deep. I don't think anyone would have dived into it. There was no diving board. But certainly it was, you know, swimmable. And I'm not altogether sure what it would have been used for, whether it was for therapy, whether it was simply for exercise by the patients, by the staff. I was told that it had been used some years ago. It was dry now. And in fact, just recently, someone was telling me that a film crew had asked to use it for some filming they were doing, and they were told that it was no longer safe to go down in there into the swimming pool. So I guess things have deteriorated since I was there.
Very unusual. And I find it a little uncomfortable that the swimming pool is next to the morgue. I don't know. Something about that gives me the shivers.
Well, then moving upstairs, we went up to the top level, and there we found an abandoned laboratory. And you think, well, why would there be a laboratory? Well, of course, when you go to the hospital, sometimes they administer tests. You know, they take blood samples, they test them for various things. Well, you need a laboratory to do those analysis. So we went in there, and it had been vacated some time before. Listeners will recall that not long ago they unveiled a nice new wing on the Misericordia, sort of an eye care center. And so a lot of the functions that were previously in the laboratory moved down to that new wing. And but there's still benches there where you would put all the scientific equipment for doing all the tests. You know, it looks still very much like a laboratory, just one that was no longer in use. And then the other thing, the thing that I found the most interesting is we were conveyed down a corridor and we stopped in front of a broom closet and they opened the door and a little wee cubby. And then there was a door in the broom closet. Opened the door and there was a very narrow staircase. Now, I'm claustrophobic and oh, yeah. I went up and I went like, oh, I don't know if I like this staircase.
Because you didn't know what was at the other end.
Well, no. The fellow giving us the tour was kind of elusive. And so we went up this narrow staircase and it was dark at the top. And then he flicked on this light bulb. It was dark because basically the room we were in had no windows. There was a single light bulb on the ceiling for lighting it, and there was a single chair sitting in the middle. And I thought, ooh, what's this?
Sounds like an interrogation room.
Well, almost, you'd think. Off one side of it, though, was a little low entrance into a greenhouse. Now, it wasn't a greenhouse as we would think today. In fact, the top of it had been covered over, I guess, because the glass was brittle and they were afraid of, you know, stones and things hitting it might break it. So it was likewise dark. And I was thinking, well, obviously it would make sense to have a greenhouse up on the roof because that's where it would get lots of sunlight to grow the plants. But why would there be a greenhouse?
Exactly. Good question.
And it wasn't a very large one either. It wasn't like they were growing lots of vegetables to feed the patients. It was very small. And it was probably the size of an average bedroom, I suppose. So my thinking is that it was probably for growing things like ornamentals, maybe some flowers. You know, I mean, maybe the nuns wanted to just brighten up to make the lives of these patients a little cheerier with some nice flowers, perhaps.
I'm loving these nuns.
Mm-hmm. Well, they no longer administer the hospital. It was transferred to the provincial government quite some time ago. But in fact, recently, when the plans were announced by the provincial government to close the facility, remember, I said it was turned into a general hospital. Then later it was given an emergency ward back in the 1970s. They built a state-of-the-art emergency room and intensive care ward. Then it was later downgraded in 1998 to an urgent care center, basically sort of a community health facility where locals could come. But more recently, the government announced earlier this year that it was being closed entirely. And this fall, the intention is that by the fall it will be closed. The Sisters of Misericord, they've registered their concerns about this because, of course, the local community then won't have the same healthcare options as they once did. But, of course, that's the nature of things. Things change, and we can't expect things to always stay the same.
I really enjoyed this one. Thank you so much, Gordon.
You're welcome.
Now, what's the clue for next time?
Well, next week, we're going to look at an abandoned building on Henderson Highway here in Winnipeg that reminds us of a major historic event that occurred in the city on the 1st of January, 1972.
And all our listeners are Googling that date right now. Gordon, thank you so much, and we'll see you next week.
See you then.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.